under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news. You're listening to The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion each and every day as we face the issues. May I say to you, as we face the issues, we base our decision, our discussion, and the wrap-up of what we're saying on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it the Truth Book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17, 17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. "Thy word is truth." Psalms 117, verse 2, the Bible tells us that the truth of the Lord endures forever. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, I pray that you'll tune in, join in the dialogue and discussion today. We're talking about an issue today that I believe is vital as we celebrate Christmas. I am thankful for today and the privilege of saying to each and every one of you, Merry, Merry, Merry Christmas. But the question is, the issue today, a Savior is born. So our question that I'd love to hear your response is, who is this Savior? What is a Savior? Why do we need a Savior? How does Jesus fit into the picture as the Savior? As we celebrate Christmas, may I say to you, it is not about Santa Claus. It's today is not a time to simply celebrate and have food and family and friends and fellowship together. That's not Christmas. Christmas is the celebration, the good news, as the angel announced to the shepherds, according to Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. Let me read those two verses. Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. "And the angel said unto them," speaking to the shepherds in the field, "fear not, for behold," by the way, I like that term, "look intently and see, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, which is Christ the Lord." So who is this Savior? The Bible tells us exactly who, but why do we need a Savior? What's the purpose of having a Savior come into the world? Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we need to stand on the term that I call truth. Truth is the finality of what we need to understand. And the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, as we celebrate Christmas, we need to understand that it is far beyond anything that most today recognize and consider as Christmas. May I say to you, it was the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that said, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." So as we talk about celebration of Christmas, we need to go back to the truth book. What does the Word of God say? Who is this Savior? Why did he come into the world? Why do we need a Savior? Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time has the full line of landscape and lawn care equipment, and they have, ladies and gentlemen, the brands for the homeowner like Honda and Echo. They carry the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, and Tools for Time has a full line of Honda generators, And listen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The Tools for Time staff can answer your questions about the homeowner brand as well as the professional landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark and identifier on the campus of Tools for Time. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24-7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, seated with me around the round table today here in our broadcast studio, I'm delighted to have Dr. Neil Phelps with us. Dr. Phelps is one of our professors in the college and the university. We have to my right, Brother Ken McElfresh. Brother Ken is the coordinator for our admissions department in the college, and I'm thankful to have them joining in this dialogue and discussion. Gentlemen, if you would, let's start to my right, Brother Ken. Say a few words about Christmas and your wish. Merry Christmas for those that are tuned in today. And then, Dr. Phelps, I'll ask you to introduce yourself and a Merry Christmas also.
Yes, good morning. Pastor, thank you for the invitation and to be on the broadcast today. And I want to unveil the great heart of God as it relates to Christmas and the incarnation. And as we read through the whole Bible, what's so obvious is God's great desire to be known by his creation. God wants to be known, but we got a problem. God in his own essence is and so absolutely incomprehensible to human beings.
Right.
We got a problem. How does this infinite God that's so immense, he's so holy, he's so great and perfect, how does he communicate accurately to his creation who he is in his being and what is the counsel of his will to his creation? Just to show an illustration where this kind of becomes very, very difficult for human beings, think of the doctrine of the Trinity. Mm-hmm. Bring up the doctrine of the Trinity, and all of a sudden there gets a little uneasiness in the room of how do we go about to explain this very basic concept of the triune God.
Right.
It shows the challenge that God has in communicating who he really is. In fact, it goes beyond us, the angels, higher in spiritual capacity maybe than we are, more powerful directly in the presence of God. Notice closely what they say. What is their vocabulary in the as recorded in Scripture? You'll hear them say such thing as, he is holy, holy, holy. They'll say, glory to God in the highest. They'll say, the whole earth is full of his glory. Even the angels are pictured in the tabernacle as looking down upon the person of Christ on the mercy seat, trying to look into the mystery of godliness, the New Testament says,
Amen.
To try to understand what? The incarnation that we look at and set aside this time of the year to really look closely into and celebrate.
Amen. Good statement, good opening remarks. Dr. Phelps.
I'm Neil Phelps. I'm one of the helpers here at the university. I'm working with the curriculum and trying to prepare the courses that people can take and learn something about God's great truth. One of the things I want us to look into, and I would love to know more and more about, is how that God made some promises in the Bible. And at Christmas, we find one of those promises that he has fulfilled. God is faithful to fulfill all of his promises. And those promises began way back in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 15. And we understand that that's the verse that God first made about a Savior. And so we want to talk about that today and all of the wonderful things that God has in mind to fulfill. And that fulfillment involves his beloved son, who was born at about this time of the year, we believe, at Christmas, and we want to talk about the birth of our Savior.
Amen. A good opening statement, and I'm thankful for that. Ladies and gentlemen, as we celebrate Christmas, I want to say to each and every one of you, from all of us at First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University, we wish you a merry, merry, merry Christmas. But I want to remind us today that it's not just about having fellowship with friends and relatives. It's not about having that time of food and that time of opportunity to relax and have the family together, the friends together. It's far more than that. And as we're talking about today, the issue, a Savior is born. Ladies and gentlemen, what is meant by a Savior being born? That's where we're going today. That's the purpose. Love to hear from you. 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. What does it mean, a Savior is born? Who is this Savior? And as Brother Ken just said, and Dr. Phelps in an opening statement just made, is that we have a Savior. But why is there a need for a Savior? What is the purpose for a Savior coming into the world? Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 calls his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Luke 19:10, the Bible tells us that Jesus came into the world to seek and to save that which is lost. So, ladies and gentlemen, when we see a Savior is born, we must realize that in biblical history, history past, as found in the Old Testament, it was the shedding of blood of the bulls and the goats that provided a covering for the sins of the people. But when the Lord Jesus Christ was born, Jesus shed blood on Calvary's cross. He became our Savior. And Dr. Phelps and Brother Ken, we're going to talk about that today. But let me do a little further introductory remark, because the bottom line is we're going to be talking about a Savior, and that Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're going to be talking about, more specifically, why do we need a Savior? What is the purpose of a Savior? But who is this Jesus? And I've made a statement, or a list of statements, about 10 or 12 things very briefly, that I want to introduce Jesus to you, our listener. Many of you have never thought of it in this fashion. Jesus grew up as a carpenter's son. Jesus never went to college. Jesus never got married. Jesus never commanded an army. Jesus never received the applause of man. Jesus never owned a home. Jesus never committed a sin. Jesus died as a criminal at the age of 33. He changed time and eternity through the human calendar forever. He rose again after the third day. He ascended back into heaven. And he's coming again in victory and grand glory as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus. He is the Savior that is announced in Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11 by the angel Gabriel when the announcement was made. So, Dr. Phelps, start us out, if you will, please. Why do we need a Savior? And who is this Savior? Identify it and then go in the direction that you think is necessary for our conversation today about a Savior is born.
The first words of the angels as they spoke about or announced the birth of Christ was to say, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord."
Amen.
And they also pointed out that his name is Jesus because he shall save his people from their sins. We need to announce today one of the first answers, and there are many, why we need a Savior is because of the problem of sin.
Right.
That problem was caused by our parents, their parents, their parents, their parents,
back and back,
all the way
back
to Adam. Because of the problem of sin, we were alienated from God. But God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to reconcile us to himself. We read in Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, came to reconcile us and to bring us near unto God, to bring God and sinners together. So he came to reconcile us because You see, sin alienates us from God. In the book of Colossians, chapter 1, and verses 20 and 21, we're told about that great truth. Jesus shed his precious blood to make the payment or to pay the price for our redemption, to reconcile us to a holy God, and to bring about or arrange forgiveness of sins. We read in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And again in chapter 6, Romans 6:23, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Jesus came as our Redeemer, and he has reconciled us. He has delivered us from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin, and from the punishing wrath of God upon sin. When he suffered for my sins and yours on the cross and shed his precious blood for us, he reconciled us to God. The forgiveness of our sins was made possible only because of what Jesus has done in our behalf as he represented us there at the cross of Calvary. And so we read in Ephesians 1:7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of God's grace." And so God, by the gospel of Christ, by this good news about Christmas and the birth of Christ, he has called us out of the world of religion to have a personal relationship with God.
Amen.
So that we can then, as believing Christians, we can have a fellowship with God.
Amen. Well stated. Now let's ask a question, not changing direction at all, but ask a question to perhaps fill the void in the understanding of those that are listening. Many times, ladies and gentlemen, and perhaps you're in this category, that somehow, some way you think that Jesus Christ just began at Bethlehem when he was born in the stable, where the Bible says that there was no room for them in the inn. Jesus Christ was that came into this world to fulfill the promises in the text that a Savior would be born. So that announcement is made in Luke, the second chapter, verse 10 and 11. The angel said that it would be good news to all people, to the world. So, Brother Kenneth, what does it mean, good news to the world? What is this good news association with what Dr. Phelps just said? What is the good news that's for the whole wide world? It's not just for America. It's not just for a certain class of people. It's not just for a certain element, but it's good news for the whole wide world. And by the way, if I can just put in a little young blood parenthetical footnote, based on that scripture alone, salvation is good news for the whole world and not just for an elect few, as John Calvin taught in Calvinism. I must add that footnote from my understanding. Share with us, Brother Ken, what you think and what you want our listeners to understand. And when you complete another statement and your other remarks, then we'll start opening our line and listening to our callers.
The great news is this, Dr. Youngblood, that we have been delivered from so great a death, the Bible says. Because of man's sin, sin is breaking laws, God's laws and God's commandments. And all men, all women, all young people, they're sinners by nature and by choice. Mm-hmm. And sin is breaking God's laws and God's commandments. And God has placed a severe penalty on sin. The wages of sin is death. The Bible speaks about two deaths. A physical death. We'll all die a physical death, barring the rapture occurring. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the penalty of sin. You commit a sin, the penalty, the payment, the wage that we receive in exchange is death, a physical death. Then the Bible talks about the second death. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, Revelation 20:14. Mm-hmm. Also Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable and murderers and whoremongers, sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. This is the second death. So the result of avoiding paying for our sins after we die, the good news is that God, the all-powerful, promise-keeping God, provided a means and methods of us escaping that wrath and that eternal judgment by the gospel of Jesus Christ, where an innocent substitute could pay the penalty on our behalf. God then offers us a free gift of eternal life if we will understand, and it's interesting, because Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, if you will confess, that word confess means make an authoritative declaration of the Lord Jesus, the God-man. The foundation of the good news is you must have some capacity to understand and accept the God-man concept as the basis and foundation of being saved, that great news that we have in Jesus Christ.
And it's for all men.
Amen.
It doesn't make any difference about the geographical location. Doesn't make any difference about the racial background. It doesn't make any difference about what we were, what we have been. It makes a vast difference as to whether or not we say yes to Jesus Christ, which is the Savior that's come.
Amen.
That's the good news. The good news. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen. Perhaps even today, as we celebrate Christmas, you think, well, what's the good news? The good news is named Jesus. Dr. Phelps?
Yes, concerning this matter of what Jesus has done for us, and knowing that it's for everyone, I have a verse in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. That's why he was made a little lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor. And he received that because God the Father placed that upon him and wants us to so honor him. And the rest of the verse says that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man.
Amen.
Every man. Every man, woman, boy, or girl is invited to come to God. He's made a way for us.
And as we celebrate Christmas, ladies and gentlemen, we're celebrating the entry into all of human history of God, Emmanuel, God come in the flesh. I am so thankful for the privilege to celebrate Christmas. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to urge you, as we celebrate Christmas, please, please, please don't look at it on the basis that it's just about a Christmas tree. Don't look at it on the basis it's just about giving a gift and receiving a gift. Don't look at Christmas as being something that is a time of food and fellowship and friendship, etc., etc. But look at Christmas as a recognition that Jesus Christ is the Savior which came into the world, and it should be a time of joy for all people. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. I thank God that he came down in flesh to save an idiot like me. Because I was an idiot. Still am in a way. But I thank God he came down and saved us, because we cannot save ourselves. That's a fact. I don't care how much money you got or whatever. Money cannot save you. I don't care if you're a trillionaire, billionaire, whatever. But money cannot save you. Because like you said, it's going to be two deaths. The death of the spirit and the soul and the flesh.
Well, Kenneth, one of the things that I want our listeners to understand, Jesus is born in a stable in Bethlehem. That's the entry of God coming to flesh, of God coming into the world. And that is the good news that the angel spoke of. By the way, it was the angel Gabriel. In the scripture, we have three archangels. Gabriel is the announcing angel, announcing the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And just as you said, Kenneth, it doesn't make a difference how much money or how much you do not have, but how much you do have. Keep in mind, when the angels announced the birth of Jesus, they announced it first, not to the kings, not to the princes, not to the potentates, not to those in high office, but the announcement first came to the lowly shepherds doing their work, watching their flock by night, according to the scripture. That's the good news. That's the good news that a Savior is born. And it's called our Savior because He is the only one in time, eternity past and present that can save us from our sins. And every human being, as Dr. Phelps mentioned earlier, and as Brother Ken mentioned earlier, every human being is born a sinner. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not sinners because we commit sin. We're sinners because we're born sinners. It is the Adamic blood that flows in our veins that causes one to be sin-tainted from birth. It's not a matter of, well, you committed a sin, so therefore you're a sinner. No, we're a sinner because of birth. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior that's born, is that good news, the announcement that He is, His salvation is available to all people. It boils down, Brother Kenneth, to whosoever will may come. So thank you so much for your call today, and God bless you. May you and your dear family have a merry, merry Christmas. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. Love to hear from you. How are you celebrating Christmas? What do you see when we say a Savior is born? Who is that Savior? Have you met Him? Do you know Him? Have you said yes to Him? Brother Ken, speak to that, please.
I'm thinking, Pastor, about my opening statements, how that God has this challenge of revealing Himself, and the Bible is based upon this foundation and this supposition that although the scriptures were going to be given and inspired by God and provided for everyone to read, the whole scripture is built on the foundation and supposition that there would be some point in time where the divine nature would be revealed to us in the person of the Son to declare and reveal the person of the Father, mm-hmm. His divine nature and His divine will. And all of that happened in Jesus Christ. When He came, the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in the human nature. And it says in John 14:9, "He that has seen Me has seen the Father," Jesus said. And He came to declare Him. And this gave us the opportunity to see up close and personal God revealing Himself so that we could be, we could know Him, to put our faith in Him, our trust in Him, and to provide obedience and proper worship, which begins with this process of salvation where we come to Christ to be saved. Mm-hmm. So this time of year highlights this method in which God chose to reveal Himself as the most complete and perfect representation He could make of Himself to us in our fallen human nature.
I like what you said. It reminds me in the John text, chapter 1, it's on the left page, the right column, verse 18 in my Bible. If you would, Brother Ken, take your Bible and read John 1:18 for us. And then I want to make a statement about it and before we take our news break.
"No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him."
Declared Him. That word declared, we get our word exegete. We talk about exegeting the scriptures. And it is in that verse and that one verse alone where if we didn't have anything else in the scripture, it gives a profound statement that Jesus Christ came into the world to reveal, to exegete, to show God to man and
Amen.
Man to God.
Amen.
And everything we see in the scripture from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21 is God's progressive revelation of Himself to man.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that you have joined us today. We're going to take the top of the hour news break right after the news. We'll be right back as we continue to talk about a Savior is born. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.